White, J.E. White, Emma. Sunnyside, Kurrenbaum, New South Wales, Australia. July 13, 1898. Dear children, Edson and Emma, I have again returned to my quiet home. Sarah and I left Kurrenbaum last Thursday afternoon. I was awakened in the night at 11:30 o'clock, and my mind was drawn out in prayer to God that He would hold in check the angry nations for a period, that the truth might go forth to many who have not yet heard it. As a people, we have not been true and faithful and consecrated to the work. Oh, how my soul is burdened, pressed as a cart beneath sheaves. Elder Haskell has urged me to go to Stanmore and speak to the people Sabbath afternoon and Sunday evening. I consented to go, and on Thursday we went to Morisset and stepped on board the train at 10 a.m. One lady was in the compartment beside ourselves. I lay down and slept nearly all the way to Stanmore. This was a great blessing to me. We found Brother Starr in the process of moving. Half of his goods had been moved. The house he was to occupy needed much done to it before it would be habitable. It was a wonder to us all how people could have lived in such a house. Its unsanitary condition was fearful. Brother Starr has been searching out the death traps under the house, and the noisome smell is fearful. The workmen are now at work under the direction of Brother Starr. They see and understand that it is for their interests to have healthful, sanitary conditions ruling on the premises. Fevers, measles, and various diseases are everywhere in these cities. The same train of thought was taken up that I have been troubled over the night before. What can be done to enlighten the people? What poverty of understanding there is! Some are safe and happy, while others are living in such wretchedness and wickedness. We are close by these people, and yet so far off, separated by a gulf of impossibilities. Rum hotels are to be seen everywhere you go. I felt like praying, "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Matthew 6, verse 10. I want to do so much and can do so little. My cry night and day is, "Help me, O Lord, help me." There are souls in Stanmore who are deeply convicted, while others are on the very eve of taking their position on the side of truth. Sabbath afternoon, a large number were present at the meeting. I had freedom in speaking to them from Colossians 2, verse 1 to 10. On Sunday night, a large number who were not of our faith were out to hear. The burden of the travail for souls came upon me. I had a plain, straightforward, unvarnished testimony to bear. I spoke for more than an hour from Luke 10, verse 25 to 37. I could not read the hearts of the many present who were transgressors of the law. But I presented the difference between obedience and disobedience in the reality that forced itself upon my mind. I spoke of temperance and intemperance, of the world as it was before the flood and before the destruction of Sodom, of the value of the human soul in the light of the cross of Calvary, of the sacrilegious feast of Belshazzar and its result, of the writing on the wall, "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." Daniel 5, verse 27. I was told afterwards by Brother Starr that two men, brothers, sat before me. They had been intemperate men. One had been kept on a farm to get him away from the temptation to drink. The other brother, the elder, had left drink, but both were using tobacco. I learned that the elder brother, a lawyer, said to the younger, "Let us give up our tobacco, it is an evil." Both pledged themselves to do this, but unless they make Christ their strength, I have little hope that they will succeed. The power of perverted appetite makes men slaves. They do not realize the strength of their bonds until they attempt to break them. Both these brothers have good intellect. They are struggling for freedom. The lawyer has been under conviction for some time. His health has been greatly injured by his former habits of intemperance, and now he is like a drowning man trying to catch hold of something that will save him. These brothers have been taking treatment at the health home, where the workers seek to instill the truth as they labor for the health of the patients. If these poor souls can see and understand that Christ is their only safety, they will see that they are not compelled to sin, that their own consent must first be gained by the arch-deceiver. They will see by faith that Christ alone is the one who can protect them from the enemy. I looked upon the company before me and lifted up my voice in warning. You have souls to save or souls to lose. You are deciding your own destiny for eternity. Let no more moments be wasted. Flee to your refuge. Lay hold of eternal life. At the close of the meeting, I returned to my stopping place, but I could not relieve myself of the burden. If we had help so that we could speak every Sunday night, the interest would be as good as it has been at any time. In the providence of God, circumstances are taking place that are calling the attention of our people to families that need help. One day, information was brought in regard to a destitute family, and Brother Starr and another person went to see them. There they found the bailiff in the house, quartered upon them, to feed and lodge until they could pay the rent of the house. This they could not possibly do, and when they told him that they had not covering enough to keep the children warm, and he could see for himself that all the things in the house would not bring more than a sum of £2, he slept and obtained his food elsewhere. And yet, every day he was in the house, his wages must be paid. Such is the relentless character of human laws. The children were sitting up at a late hour, and one of our sisters suggested that they had better go to bed. The mother said they were waiting for their father to come home, that he was later than usual. At last the children were falling asleep in their chairs, and again they urged the advisability of giving them their supper without waiting for the father. The mother, with quivering lips, said, "They cannot have their supper until their father returns." Then she understood that there was nothing in the house to eat. She soon had something brought in for them. Then she laid the matter before our brethren. Brother Johnson was present, and he put his estimate on the mite left them of their worldly goods, which amount to about £2. The goods were then put up to auction, and the auction price paid, and then the goods were returned to the family. Brother Johnson found as cheap a house as he could, and saw them established in it. The beds were covered, but on looking beneath he found only bags sewn together for covering. They had no warm blankets. But in spite of their poverty, everything was as neat and clean as possible. The father is a businessman, and I cannot think how he came to be in such a position. But this has opened the way so that he can help himself. He is now in some work connected with the sale of health goods. These are the things which we have to see and become acquainted with. The Lord knows all about these matters, and he will bring to our notice those who need help. This family may receive the truth. By their Christian interest, our people have opened the way for them. The Lord is opening ways whereby we may find an entrance to the hearts of the people. We are so glad to find an open door by which to reach and speak to them. The health home is the means of reaching many souls that would not otherwise be reached. Christ represents himself as the Good Shepherd, and to those who follow him he says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Luke 12, verse 32. There is earnest work to be done for the children. Before the overflowing scourge shall come upon all the dwellers upon the earth, the Lord calls upon all who serve him, those who are Israelites indeed. Gather your children into your own houses. Gather them in from the classes that are voicing the words of Satan, who are disobeying the commandments of God. Get out of the cities as soon as possible. Establish church schools. Gather in your children and give them the Word of God as the foundation of all their education. Had the churches in different localities sought counsel of God, they would not need that I should write to them on this point. When the children of Israel were gathered out from among the Egyptians, the Lord said, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever." Exodus 12, verse 12, 22-24. Any one of the children of the Hebrews that was found in the Egyptian habitations was destroyed. The blood upon the lintel of the door symbolized the blood of Christ, which alone saved the firstborn of the Hebrews from the curse. We have a special work to do in educating and training our children, that they may not, either in attending school or in association with others, mingle with the children of unbelievers. Boys and girls should not be often together. The Lord calls for decided separation. And yet every effort is to be made by the servants of God to seek to save perishing souls. All that can be done should be done. Yet the Lord says, "Come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17-18. The Apostle Paul says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Or what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Verses 14-18. These are precious words. We are adopted into the family of God. We are to be His peculiar people. Those who mingle with worldlings should make special efforts to win them to Christ. We should seek by much prayer for wisdom to speak to those who are ignorant of their duty to God, ignorant of the word of the Lord. But when we find that we cannot lift them out of their sin, or awaken in their hearts a desire to be saved in the Lord's appointed way, then, if we choose their society, we become one with them. Christ is as the vine to all who choose to be united with Him. He feeds and nourishes the soul. He restoreth my soul and leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Psalm 23, verse 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. This will be the evidence given. Those who claim to be Christians will receive no harm from the atmosphere of unbelievers. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Psalm 34, verse 1-3, 5. All who have this experience can safely carry their religion wherever they go. The Lord can say to them, "Go, and I will go with thee." All their talents, all their faculties, will be employed in doing good and honoring God. They will declare the excellencies they possess in the righteousness of Christ. All who observe their deportment will be convinced that they look upon goodness, wisdom, and holiness as the most precious treasures they can possess.